and the songs we sing, we still lift our praise to our loving God and King. Though the music changes and the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the seasons change, we'll be right back. can know my heart like you do. For all creation sings your song, I will join with them, declaring your glory. There is none, none like you, who can know my heart like you do. For all creation sings your song, and I will join with them, declaring your glory.
There's no one like you, God. You are our all in all. You are the one, Lord, that gives us life. You give us everything that we need, Lord. And we just come, Lord, to your heart today, Lord. We come to your throne today, Lord. And we just lay our lives at the altar, God. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just continue, God, to guide and direct our hearts, guide and direct our lives, Lord. Lord, show us, God, if there's any error in our ways, Lord. Just reveal to us, Lord, if we're set and bounding in the future for a trap, God, reveal that to us, Lord. God, you are our guide. You, Holy Spirit, you are the one that leads us, Lord. And we just pray that you would just come right now in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and grace and just impart into our lives. Lord, as we heard last week about digging in a dry well, Lord, we don't want to do that anymore, Lord. We want to go to a place where the living waters of God are flowing. So, Lord, we just surrender, Lord, our will and our ways into your hand. We surrender the service into your hands, Lord. We know that you do all things well, Lord. Even when it's difficult times, God, you will take those difficult times, Lord, and you will make them good for our behalf, Lord, because you desire us to be conformed to the image of your Son. Lord Jesus, you desire us to be just like you. You're not afraid with us to be just like you, Lord. So we just surrender. We yield our hearts. We yield our minds. Lord, we yield every part of our being into your hands today. We just thank you, God, that you're working in our lives. Lord, you do all things for our good, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do, Lord, in each and every life here today. I just release, Lord, your grace, Lord, for people to release burdens. I release your grace, Lord, for people to release wounds and hurts from the past, Lord. I release your grace, Lord, for people to release forgiveness, Lord, to those who have wounded and hurt them, God. Just let your atmosphere of love fill this place right now, God. We just receive your presence, Lord. We receive you, Lord, today. Thank you, Jesus.
Sing hallelujah, Christ is real.
treasure you found.
This week, at the beginning of the week, I went out with another pastor's wife for lunch, and she was encouraging me in the Lord. She knew that I'd been having a really rough 2 months, and she just wanted to love on me. And so as we were sharing in fellowship, she said that God gave her a scripture for me, and that how real that scripture had actually become to her and why. And so I took that scripture, and I've been pondering that scripture this whole week. And then the Lord gave me this scripture yesterday, and it's it says, "Don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And that's found in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. And I want to actually just go to the, that was in the New King James Version. I want to just read that in the New Living Translation, just a little bit of it. It says, "But forget all that. It doesn't matter anymore. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do a brand new thing." And when I got that scripture from the Lord yesterday, I felt a spark of hope in my heart, in my spirit. And the scripture and the word that she shared with me is found in, let me get to it, hold on. It's found in 2 Timothy, it's 1:6. And this is the Apostle Paul, and Paul is speaking to his underling, or the man that he brought up into the Lord. And he is saying to Timothy, he's saying, "You stir up the gifts." It's not a leadership person that can stir up your gifts. There's not an evangelist that comes through and he speaks a fancy word over you, and all of a sudden you have this brand new energized feeling to go ahead and do it. Paul is saying to Timothy, "You stir up the gift." Now, I don't know about anybody else, but it's been a real hard thing for me to even have the strength to stir anything. And as I pondered that this week, the Lord gave me this picture, and this picture was a long table that was kind of high, and in the first clear bowl was one ingredient, just a cup of flour, nothing else. You wouldn't have to stir at that because it's by itself. There's no reason to stir it because it doesn't get stirred into anything else other than what it is. It's the flour. And some of us in our lives with Christ, we've thanked him for coming along and saving our sweet souls, but we live our lives as if we're that cup of flour and we don't need much anything else. But then there's this second bowl, and this second bowl is filled with a liquid, and in it is added some very heavy in weight seasonings and items that when you begin to stir this, it all stirs up really good and everything's flying around the bowl. But when you stop stirring, those heavier things, they sink to the bottom. They're not incorporated with each other at all. Let's move on to bowl three. Bowl three has many ingredients in it. That cup of flour, the seasonings in that liquid, some mashed up bananas, a little bit of milk, a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of all the things you need to make the most glorious, wonderful icebox banana cake you ever tasted in your life. My personal favorite. And when you stir all of those things together, what you will notice when you add all of those ingredients, and I'm taking those ingredients as being not only God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, but it's my brothers and my sisters. It's what they can add to me. When you stir that all together, it stays together. But there's one more thing that happens to that. All of those ingredients, whether they're the nice, sweet-tasting bananas or the very nasty-tasting flour, it has to be put in a pan and it has to be put through the fire. How many of us have been put through the fire? Did we come out as a sweet, wonderful banana icebox cake with wonderful cream cheese frosting on top? Or did we not add the proper ingredients like the love of God, and the saving grace of Jesus, and the prayers of the saints that are around me, and all of those things that make me who I really am in Christ? But it had to go through the fire. And have you been through the fire? I have.
But what comes out is a wonderful, glorious thing that not only is there enough for me, but there's enough for everybody because I'm able to then share it. And they're able to glean from that what they get. So what I take that God was trying to tell me in all of this week is I have work to do. I have to stir. And even though I don't feel strong enough to stir, that's what I'm doing right now. Even though it's really hard for me to stand up here, I'm stirring. No one else can make you stir. No one else can ignite in you the love of God and the power of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Spirit to get you to do what God's called you to do in your life. All he's waiting for is for you to grab that spoon, just do one circle. And then all of a sudden you notice the second circle wasn't as hard because he's helping you.
I don't have anything quite as eloquent, but it kind of went along with what my mom was saying. And as we were, you can turn that music back up just a smidge. As we were praying and worshiping or whatever, and you know, as I was thinking of when our kids get hurt or they even if they do something and they know they're not supposed to, whatever, and they instantly they make a move for their parent. You know, if they're hurting, they're crying, they're upset, they make that move and you take over from there. Either they come running and you scoop them up and you help them with whatever's going on. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. But he's waiting for us to make that move to him. He's waiting for us to take that step and say, okay, I need help. You know, and there's this old saying that we had drilled into us as when we were younger, and it's insanity is the same, doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. And we sit here and we say, God, just do something. But he's waiting for you to make that move and say, okay, God, I'm ready to do something. I'm ready for you to do something in me. Let's go and let's make this move together. So if that rings true to you, and I think that goes along with what she was saying. So
was thinking, kind of been thinking all week, and then I got the Lord kind of jolted me like he tends to do. Evidently, I do better when I'm jolted. Nothing is ever subtle for me. Normally, it's he has to hurry. Yeah, no. And one thing that God has been dealing with me about is that we are so protective of the water in our glass. You know, you ever been drinking something and someone has a cold around you and you're like, no, no. And we're so protective of what's ours. And we're so protective of our families and our life and our church and our Christianity, and it's messy out there and it's scary and it's and God's really been working me over. So I'm sorry. Now I'm going to give you what he's kind of been giving me. If we want living springs of water, it comes through service. I'm sorry. If you want your life to count for something, if you want a drink of fresh water, if you want a filled Holy Ghost, if you want that old, the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because nothing flows in or out of it. It's just algae, it's just nasty, and I fear that's how we get. I'm serious. I fear that's how we get in church. And I think we're almost, excuse me, but I'm like going to be straight up. We're almost like inbred. I mean, where is the going out and the lost souls? She's talking about stirring up the gift. She's talking about making this cake. Man, people need us. People need us, man, and we're just sitting here. I'm sorry, Pastor Mike. I'm not trying to pastor. I really feel the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to be, you know. But guys, the only way to get full is to pour yourself out. That's the only way that works. Most rivers and streams, they become dead. There's no nutrients in them, and it's just dead, stagnant water because there's nothing going in and there's nothing going out. And I mean, in nature, God had painted us a picture in nature. If we want life and we're like, I'm happy with my little church and I'm happy with my little God, and don't bother me because I'm going to get in my little holy huddle and I only want these four people right here praying for me, because God forbid that we get some people in here that we have to, they're kind of rough. We might need to. I went to a thing Friday night that rocked my world. I'm sorry. People need us, and it's time to pour ourselves out. I mean, what in the world? We're salt and we're light, and what are we doing? And so if we want fresh water, if you want the gift to be stirred up, then we have to go out and feed and give. And when we do that, Jesus goes, all right, now we're cooking. Now let me give you a drink of fresh water. But if we're just content to sit here and we don't help and we don't respond to the Spirit of God when he says, that one right there, that cause, that thing, what can we do? What can we do to change? Jesus is going to come soon. And I mean, whether we believe it or not, Jesus is going to come soon. And we've got work to do. We've got work to do. I mean, Jesus is going to wind this thing up. And we have work to do. And you know, we're just so afraid. I'm sorry, we're just so afraid. I know people have said, Lisa, you're so weird. Where are you at, Panda? You're so odd. Yeah, you're so odd. And I've hidden because I'm like, you are odd. I mean, people are not going to get you, honey. You better just. But the thing of it is, we're weird for a reason. You weren't meant to blend in. I'm sorry. You weren't meant to blend in. And if we're blending in, we have work to do. So that's.
Well, praise the Lord. Hang on just a second. I get to where I'm supposed to be. Yeah, thank you, Lisa. And, you know, the thing is that if our Christianity is so fragile that we can't endure a challenge and can't endure a correction or even a rebuke, then we need to really evaluate our faith, because the Bible says that we ourselves are supposed to even examine ourselves in such a way to see if we're in the faith. So, and I know Lisa, she's preaching to herself is what she's doing, but she's including us in the preach. Well, just as today is a different service, we had a different service last week, and I wanted to just give you guys, and we as a staff and as leadership and people who've been praying and really believe in God for something to really happen here that's extraordinary, wanted to share our hearts a little bit. So I'm sharing, but I've had some communications from other members of the staff and stuff, so I'm going to incorporate that in there. I'm not just going to read something, but I have like 10 pages of notes. No, it's not 10 pages, but it's several. So it's not going to be just a preach. It's going to be more like sharing some things that pretty much we all know. So, last week we had a service that was really different. It was awesome. I was so blessed. I was so inspired. I felt the love of God. Some relationships were healed. It was just awesome that what happened last week. And we didn't do last week that way just to mix things up. Now this week it turned out kind of the same way, but it wasn't like, you know, we're just not going to have any worship. For those of you who came in a little after, our worship leader had a sick family today, so he needed to stay home. So gave us an opportunity to kind of, I guess, see how that felt again with the canned. It was a little different for me because, I mean, I really enjoy being up there and playing and stuff. But, you know, it's really your heart. You know, whether we have music or not, you can make melody in your heart to the Lord. Just something that we have to learn to do. But we're not going to learn it here. It's something we have to learn to do in our own home, stirring ourselves up. You know, it's like we can encourage you all and give you even tools. But until you really, you know, are inspired to walk across the street and shake the hand of your neighbor or go to lunch with a coworker that you've never gone to lunch with just to see how their life is and just let them know that you care about them, you know, it's not going to happen. We can prod and we can push, but that's not really the way that God works. God is a good shepherd, and he comes alongside and he leads us where we need to go. He doesn't stand behind us and push the cart. But we as a leadership team, you know, we've realized that there's been a stagnancy. There's been a lack of vibrancy. There's been kind of a decline over the last, you know, few months, few years. It's really kind of escalated the last few months. And we just want you to know that, you know, we're not like blind to that. It's not like you're like, oh, nobody seems to be paying attention. No, we pay attention. Stephen even actually counts. I quit counting because a while ago, because I really felt the Lord was teaching me to not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. And we're encouraged to do that in the Word. But we are not blind, and we're not just, you know, ignoring the situation. We also realize that this has created probably disappointment for some and discouragement. And, like, you know, I've heard some people say, where are all the people? You know, just being real. Lorene and John, right? Good to see you again. We're really not just dying on the vine here, but we're just transparent. We want to be honest. We want to be real people. So I just wanted to let you know that, you know, it's not that we have no hope. We have hope in God. But, you know, as a family, we're facing a crossroads, which came back in really May is when I brought that up. Unfortunately, it didn't know really where to take us through the crossroads. And so God's been working in all of us, not just myself, in all of us as a team. And I'm sure in you. I'm sure he's been doing things in you that we hear and when you get up here and you share, or you share with me personally. And we realize that some, because of this state that we're in, have chosen to, you know, to go other places, which is fine. You know, it's not like, you know, we chain people here. That's not really the way the kingdom works. And when they leave, they don't break relationship with me. I don't say, well, I'm done with you. I tell many of them, listen, I'm going to be your pastor because you were in my heart. It's not that you're in my, it's so-called church. You're in my heart. And so if you ever need anything, you know, call. And I've had others that have left years ago, and we're closer now than when they were here. And so I'm not telling you all to leave, and we'll just have an email relationship. That's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm just letting you know that some have chosen, and actually some have actually even been led, and they've been moved to other places to, you know, to grow and become who God is calling them to be. And we do realize that there's an urgency in this situation, that it's not like, oh, well, you know, we're just gonna kind of, you know, just see what happens. In a way, I've kind of had that mentality because I really trust God, almost to a fault that I say, you know, Lord, you're going to do this. And he is doing it, but he's doing it through also, you know, challenging me and challenging, you know, some of the things that I have been, you know, I guess attempting to do, but maybe out of sequence. Because I really do believe we're in a new day, and I really do believe that we're not going to operate as we used to. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we just start at this very point. I'm very willing to do that, but it doesn't always work for everyone, and I understand that. So because of that, I want to take responsibility for where we're at, because I'm the senior pastor. Now, I've told you many times that this is not my church. It's my church as a family, but if you try to say this is your church and this is going, I'm saying no, it's the Lord's church. Holy Spirit is the leader of this church. And now I make decisions, and sometimes I make wrong decisions for God, but he's really the one that's in charge of our lives. And when we gather together, we all bring God with us, and we all bring the leadership of God with us. It's not just me. I've said that many times. But I do take responsibility for where we're at. And I do. I ask for your forgiveness for any mistakes that I've made. For any, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, I guess forward thinking that has maybe left some behind, or all of us behind. So I'm going to read this because this is something that Sarah and Stephen shared, and I think it's really good the way that they phrased it. We feel that the place we have been as a church previously is somewhere we have no desire to reside. And I would say that that's 100% all of us. That where we've been, and you could say that that could be a week, or that could be 20 years for me as a Christian, as a church attender, as a leadership, as, you know, a Sunday school teacher, all of that, where we've been in the past is not some place where we want to reside anymore, or even have the grace to reside there any longer. In other words, if we do, we're borderlining on sinning, because we're not called to that anymore. We're called to something new and fresh. And that's part of what I've been saying for a long time, but part of the problem is we haven't brought the goods. We brought the message, but we haven't brought the goods. Hopefully the Lord, through what we're really hearing in our hearts now and having confirmed, and it confirmed last week when Lisa gave us a message about, you know, this dry well and not digging in a dry well, because that's really kind of what we've been doing. Does anybody else sense that? Yeah, a few? Those of you who don't want to raise your hands, I know there's kind of a yes in there also, because, you know, talk to you personally. But it's not always good to say yes on a negative thing. Yes, I don't want to say yes to that. So We believe we need to quit digging in the old dry well. We really do. And because you know what? We're not after dirt. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to get dirty fingernails. And our goal is not to get, you know, get to the place where we have a big hole somewhere, you know, that we end up falling in and hurting ourselves. The goal for us is to receive the living water. We're thirsty people. We're hungry people. That's why we gather here. I mean, you have to be hungry to be still sticking and toughing it out right now. You've got to be saying, no, something's up for us. There's got to be something more. I know that, you know, obviously you're here. We're not done yet. That God's doing something even in our, I guess you could say, setback time. That he's preparing us for something. And I do believe, Lisa, I believe it is to be a church that maybe, and I'm going to say it, maybe doesn't gather here on Sunday every Sunday. Maybe we gather on the streets and we become Jesus' hands and feet. We'll still maybe, I know we'll gather, but I'm saying I don't believe we're going to do it like we used to do it. I mean, we'll still have a building, I'm sure, up to this point, but I'm just saying there's something that has to shift and change. And I know that sounds scary because it's like, it's not church, Pastor Mike. That's not what I know. That's not what I've grown up in. That's not what we've come from. But you can't let where you've come from stop you from where you want to go and where God wants you to go. If you let your past stop your past becomes Satan. Do you realize that? Because something that stops you is a Satan. You don't want your past to be what stops you from becoming who God wants you to be, even if your past was good. Even if it saw miracles and saw, and we do have a pretty good past here. We saw tons of people give their lives on Camp Jubilee. I mean, it was amazing how many people were set free and delivered and grew. And I mean, you know, but we can't let those victories and thinking that that's where we need to be tomorrow keep us from being who we're called to be today. You know, I believe, and we believe, that God's put us together for a reason. We recently have been meeting quite a bit more as a staff, and, you know, we've had to go through some hard times. I mean, literally, almost like working through some offenses that have come during the communication. But I am so impressed and blessed by the hearts of the individuals that are on leadership. We lay our hearts down before each other. Well, you know, even though it's hard, we're not trying to be big shots. We really are not. We're not trying to do something here that, quote unquote, will make a legacy. We're really not. If we remain this size, and I mean this with all total honesty, if we remain this size, and yet we become totally who God wants us to be, and we reach who we're called to reach, and we grow how we're called to grow, I will feel success. I will. Now, some may say, well, what about the numbers? You know, I'm not worried about the numbers. I'm worried about the conditions of our hearts, which is what we all should be worried about. I'm going to say this because I believe this. I don't believe we continue to gathering with the stress and this tough stuff we've had to work through. We believe that one life's greatest days are ahead of us, 100%. That what is in the past is in the past. And that God's never, never sold us a bill of goods. He's never called those that he hasn't equipped to do something. So I believe we're called and we are fully equipped. We just have to learn who we are in God and understand who we are with each other and see a glorious future that he's laying out before us. Sarah and Steve at the end of their letter said that they believe that we're at kind of an Esther time, such a time as this. I believe we have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe that you're ordained to live in 2016. You were ordained to be born the date that you were born. You were hand-picked, hand-selected. You were God's choice for now. It wasn't for when Jesus walked the earth. It wasn't for when Moses was, you know, parting the Red Sea. It was for this day, because you have the goods for this day. You can do it, whatever that may be. And what a privilege, what an honor to be living in this time that it could all be just wrapping up here real soon. And what a responsibility at the same time. Let's see. I said that already. So I'm going to read this part. We believe God has an incredible call and destiny for each and every person he has redeemed, that life should be one of abundance and thriving to the fullest potential God has created for us. That it should not be just getting by, and it should not be floundering, and it should not be stagnation. Does it happen? It does happen. And when it does happen, can God make it good? Absolutely. What the devil means for evil, God can turn to good every single time if we give it to him and if we wait for the process to take place. So as I said, we've been meeting really regularly lately. We've been seeking the Lord for his divine direction, and we've been asking tough questions of ourselves, each other, you know, challenging each other, mainly challenging me, I'll just be honest. And what? And Gay, yes, because we're a team. But you know what? The thing is if the Lord is trying to share something with me or with us as a team, if we can't hear it again, if we can't take the tough stuff, then we really need to examine what we're rooted in. It's like I have some folks who say, you know, I don't want to talk with, you know, anybody who's like of any other faith or anything like that, because I'm afraid they're going to mess me up, and saying, wow, you need to get into the Word. You need to be someone that can respond with faith and confidence in who your God is and who, what he's done. And if they try to twist the scriptures on you, you know who he is. Even if you don't know those scriptures, you know who he is and what he's accomplished through the Word. And you don't have to be swayed by their cunning arguments. I want to let you know that last week on my heart was, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now, the secret of the Lord is basically counsel. It's wisdom. It's a foundational counsel, and it's what you need to build on. And so when I read that last week and I studied that, and I said, Lord, that's what we need. We need to know what we're to build on. I mean, I know that you want us to be something great, but how do we go about doing that? And so, you know, we had our service last week, which again was amazing, and I believe there were things that came out through prophetic word, and you can listen to that today. It's online now, right? It didn't make it last week, but today it will be online if you want to re-listen to it. If you weren't here last week, you can now check it out. It was really, really good, so I encourage anybody. It's at onelifefamilyworship.org in the audio section, so. But When I was sharing about that, I was saying, man, it's the fear of the Lord. And I was sharing about the fear of the Lord, that reverence, that awe. It means you're just laying your life, you're putting your life. I mean, aside from, oh, I got something in my eye. Hang on, that's not good. It wasn't a tick. Anyway, so you have, you know, your life totally in his hands. If he doesn't come through with your life, you're in trouble. That's what the fear of the Lord, that's fully depositing yourself in him. When you do that, his counsel, his wisdom, his instructions, his guidance comes. And so, and then it says here that he will show you, he will show you his covenant, his promise, his promise for you. And so last week, when I left the service and I was blessed, I recalled something that I had heard from someone about 8, 9 years ago, and maybe it was 5 years ago. But what they were telling me is that they had a intern program that they had, and that they were, and this whole thought just came back to me when I remember, I don't know why the Lord brought it to my remembrance, but he brought it to my remembrance last week. And it was basically an intern program that was like one I'd never heard of before, because we had just finished an intern program, and we had some good things, but we had some really bad things too, because it was a very strict, I'll put it that way, very strict program. I mean, very strict. They did things. I said, "Are you serious? You're doing that?" You know, because they would like write whole chapters of the Bible by hand for correction or punishment, however you want to put it in the words. But so I was talking to them, and they said, "Oh yeah, wait, we have an intern program. Oh, so what's yours like? We just completed one." And they said, "Well, it's really good." I said, "Oh really? What do you guys do?" Well, I said, "Well, at the beginning of the year, we bring the individuals in, and we sit down with them. We ask, what are your dreams? What are your goals? What has God called you to?" And then they tell us their dreams and their goals and what God's called them to. And then we help them do it. I said, "That's it?" And at the time, I thought, this is crazy. I really did. I thought, I don't know how they're doing that. It's like, I mean, I'm okay with you know, some looseness. But I mean, in this too much structure was, there had to be a middle. But this is what they did, and they were successful. So I say that to say this is that when we were having our Wednesday kind of Google Hangout meeting, it's chaos, believe me. It's not like a regular meeting because you have pictures flashing and everything. It's really annoying sometimes, I'll just tell you, but at least we can all get together. And what ended up happening is Sarah, well, Sarah, can you share it? Because in your words, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I don't want to mess up what you have to say.
I better bring my tissue. I obviously didn't plan on sharing anything, but it's fine. I know. I could have, but I have to be obedient. So I had actually, God had said some things to me a while back about, you know, the idea of basically what Mike was just sharing, and I didn't really, you know, do anything with it and whatever. And I had been talking to Lotta the week before our staff meeting and shared this with her, and both of us were crying, and I was just like, I know this is God's heart. It was like I could literally feel a pastoral anointing on it. I just had such a heart for it. It was something that I haven't really, except 31 women, like I hadn't felt commissioned to like do that before. And so I knew that like that's what God was saying, and I shared it to Steve, and I've cried every time I've shared it, but because I know God is just, this is God's heart, and I'm not exactly sure what you want me to share, but what I will say is, I said in our hangouts, and I don't even know if, I kind of didn't know where it would fit. I didn't know. I'm like, I just need to say this, and, you know, just like Lisa, I'm like, I don't care how it comes out. Like, this is what God's saying to me, and I just have to say it, and you do whatever you want with it. And I think I even said, like, do whatever, but God basically put in my heart building people. And for us to, everything that you said this morning, Lisa, was like, this is exactly what God has already birthed in our hearts. And like, God is speaking to you. If you ever have any doubt that God is speaking to you, I have to say, like, it's never been more confirmed to me than what you said today that God had been showing you. Because I believe God is doing this in people all over our valley. I believe he's birthing it in our church now. And so, anyway, God basically put on my heart that I told Stephen, how impactful would it be if we, you know, first as a staff and then with everybody, but if we met with each other as a staff and said, okay, you know, God gave me some questions. I wrote them out, sent them, you know, on an email to the other staff members. And it was like, what are your dreams? What are the gifts that you feel like God placed inside of you? What are you doing with those things? Like, what do you want to do for the kingdom of God? What are characteristics that you know for a fact God placed that inside of you? And so, you know, there's various questions and whatever. And as I was asking these, what is something that you want to work on? Like, what are, God's just, I'm like, literally, I wrote out the email in like 2 seconds and I just read it to Stephen. I'm like, how does this sound? He's like, great. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I sent it off. But I believe that God is calling us to ask those questions to each other, to you guys, to people in our lives, because he wants us to help build one another up. If, for instance, Stephen and I went to Mike and Gaylene and we were like, you know, this is our heart. Like, this is, we feel like God placed us here. These are the things that as a couple, these are our characteristics. As individuals, these are our characteristics. If we just told them that and they were like, okay, that's great, pat us on the back and we leave, what are we going to do for the kingdom of God? We might do stuff on our own, but how much more? This is the illustration that God gave me. When I tell Ada, if she wants to do something, but she's a little bit scared, if I'm just like, okay, like, let's go try something else, she's never going to do it. But if I'm like, you can do it. I believe in you. You are so strong. You are so smart. I know that you can do it. She's like, yeah, like, she'll do anything. Literally, she will do anything. And it's like, that's exactly how we are, that if they're breathing that hope into us, if they're encouraging us and saying, you guys can absolutely do those things, what can I do to help you get there? If you have a heart to see people changed, what can I do to get you out there on the streets to help people? Like, what is my role in seeing you succeed? And I believe that's what we have to be for one another within the church. I believe as a staff, that's who we're called to be, as, you know, people out to our neighbors. Like, it doesn't have to be spiritual. It doesn't have to be Christian. What is it that you want for your life? If someone wants to, you know, be able to run a mile, like, what can I do to, I will run with you. I will walk with you for 4 months if that's what it takes to get you to jog. Like, we have to be that for each other. You know, as partners in Christ, it doesn't matter if you never come back again, which I hope you all do. But like, this is who God's calling us to be as Christians. This is who we're supposed to be for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And especially for Stephen and I, we need to sit down and ask ourselves these questions and say, okay, Stephen, what do you feel like? Because this is stuff like, you know, we can go through life together. How many of you know that you can go through life with your spouse and never know the desires of their heart? Never. What are the desires of their heart for the kingdom of God? You know, and Stephen and I talk often about it, so, but we never used to. We had no, we're just like, we go to church on Sunday, we're Christians, woohoo, like, that's not enough anymore. It's just not enough for us. And so, as a couple, we need to sit down and I need to ask Stephen, you know, what are the characteristics, what are the character traits you feel like God put inside of you? And for me, I'll give an example. I shared this at staff meeting, but when God gives me a prophetic word for someone, when I'm praying for them and I share that word and I see their heart connect to the heart of God and they're like so touched by it and they start to feel God move in their life, there's nothing on this earth that makes me feel more fulfilled ever. Not being a mom, not being a good wife, there's nothing on earth that makes me feel the love of God more than when I've done something to obey God. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with, oh yay, it's not about that. It's knowing that God used me because I consider myself nothing. Like, I'm just a vessel and God used me to pour into someone's life. There's nothing more fulfilling. And so these gifts I know God placed inside of me. The gift, like Lisa, to just, like, here I am, I don't care, you know, what you think, like, it is what it is. I know God placed that in me for a reason. How am I going to use it? And so much of my life, people said, like, you know, people would always tell me, like, you know, you're just so rough around the edges. You're just so, like, you don't care, and, like, this is how you are and whatever. But why did God place that inside of me? Because that's not something I created, because I fought that up until I became a mom. I fought that. I would cry all the time, even at this past women's conference. I went home that night. I just told Lotta this the other day. I went home that night and I started crying. I'm like, I don't know how to relate to women. I don't know how I fit into, like, I'm not a pastor's wife. I'm not, like, I don't have the pastor's wife voice. You know how a lot of them have that, like, super sweet, like, ha, blah, blah. Like, I will never be that way. I don't fit in that box. But, like, these are things that I think about because I feel like, you know, you put these boxes in your mind that you have to fit into, and I know I don't. And it's like, God didn't create me that way. Like, for a reason. And I fought that my whole life, and I didn't understand it, and I didn't know. it's a long story, Ada, but she asked why I'm crying, because God made me cry. But, you know, God made me this way for a purpose, and if I don't pursue that, and if I don't ask God, before Stephen asks me, I have to ask God, why did you place this inside of me? If I don't know, God, show me. If I'm struggling with why am I this way? Why am I rough around the edges? Why do I get prophetic words? And I used to struggle with getting prophetic words because I never wanted to give them. I was like, no, like, quit giving me words. Like, I literally would tell God no all the time. And I just, you know, and I don't want to be negative and think about all the people whose lives could have been touched, but I know God is gracious, and I know, you know, he was working that into me. And, but now I know all of those words, it's bigger than me. You know, at the time, I thought, I was so focused on me, I couldn't give a word because I was focused on my feelings. Now I know it has nothing to do with me. And thank God for that. Like, you should all be thankful for that. Like, it's not about me. And I know that. And I love that. And I love that God chose to use me for whatever his purpose is. But this is what God's birthing in this church. To look outside of ourselves. To encourage one another. Like, we're going to do something. And Michael kind of talked about it. We're going to talk about it in staff too. How exactly it's going to work. But at some point, we're going to be meeting with each other. We're going to be meeting with families and asking, you know, these questions of, and I'd kind of like to give it to people in advance so you guys can pray about it and ask God and see what you guys come up with. But I want to dream with you guys. I want to say, if you feel like God placed you on this earth to touch your neighborhood, like if that is your one, I really want to reach my neighborhood. What can I, if I have to go to your house every single Saturday and like knock on doors or bake stuff with you to take to your neighbors, or like, I'll do anything to help you guys. Like, really. Gah. But this is such a passion. Well, I haven't said anything like inappropriate, but yet, but, anyway, this is our heart. This is, you know, whatever you guys have in your hearts to do, whatever. I know Michelle wants to be out on the street. She's like, I literally think of her and I'm like, her skin is just crawling. Like, she wants to be out there. She wants to be doing it. Just like, I just know it's itching inside of her. Like, I have to do this. That's something God placed in her for a reason. And what kind of a friend would I be? What kind of a family would we be if we were just like, well, we expect you to just be here every Sunday and like you fit into our mold and we're not going to let you go. Like, let's get her out there. Like, how can we help you go out there? Teach me how to go out there and like be fearless and, you know, do everything that God, like, I want to be right there with you. If you're feeling like you're called, like old people or taking care of, the elderly. If you feel like, you know, helping those people is what God's placed in your life, like, let's go. I will cry the whole time, I promise you. Old people, like, I see when I just start crying, ask Stephen, like, I can't handle it. They're just so sweet, but I'll go with you. You'll be embarrassed, but I will go with you. And it's whatever God's calling you to do. I just want you guys to know, like, Stephen and I especially, and I know the rest of the staff, we're here to link arms with you. We're here, whatever your dreams are, start thinking about it. Start, if you're like, gosh, I've never really thought about it, start praying about it. God, what am I called to do in Yakima? If it's to affect people at your work, like, by golly, I'll go sit at your work. Like, whatever we're gonna do. Like, it's just time that we start doing this and start thinking differently. You know, and this morning we listened to that song and it talked about seasons, and I was thinking, like, seasons is such a, I hate winter. Like, I just really don't. There, I'm sure there's someone out there who likes winter, but it's not for me. I like the warm months. I like, you know, spring and stuff. And I know for a lot of people, going into winter can be scary. The season changing can be a little bit, because a lot of people deal with depression or, like, you know, different things. Or maybe it reminds you of a time in your life where something negative happened in winter. Sometimes going into a new season can be scary, a new season in your life. And I think that we're going into a new season. We're definitely stepping on new ground. It's a little bit scary, I have to say. I'm a planner. I like to, like, okay, so what are we going to do? Like, what's the plan? And they know that on staff. Like, okay, how is this applicable? But I, with full faith, I have to say, I don't care, you know, X, Y, Z. Like, I'm ready to go, God. Whatever you have for me, whatever the next step is. I had a vision one time I was walking on a path, and I just told Glenn this the other day, but I was walking on a path, and literally, I couldn't see. It was completely black around me, completely black, and I could only see, I couldn't see like, oh, there's a light right in front of my foot, so I better step there. I just literally, as I picked up my foot and started to set it down, there was a light like, oh, right here. Oh, you're a little bit short, like take a little. I could literally only see as I took this step of faith, God showed me the light, like, here's your next footstep. I believe that's kind of the season we're in as a church. We may not see, like, here's the next stepping stone, but as we take that leap of faith, God's going to be right there with us. He's going to, oh, here's the next stepping stone. This is what, and it's kind of terrifying, to be honest. It's kind of like, are you insane? Yes, we are. Yes, we are insane. And it's totally scary. But this is what God has for us. And I just encourage you guys, if you're not sure about it, if you're not sure, like, just let God breathe life into you. That's all. The only thing that I know how to do is be like, okay, God, whatever you ask of me, I'll do. And I hate saying that because he always asks me to do stuff. But it's so, like, that's who God has called us to be. And so anyway, that's all I have to say. But this is a new season for us, and I just encourage you guys, if you're a little bit scared, good. Like, we're all scared. So, but it's not, you know, we all have faith, and we all want to see you guys grow. We all want to take you guys to the next step and encourage you to be who God is calling you to be. And we can't do that without your guys' permission. You know, and so I encourage you guys, start praying now. God, what do you have for my life? It doesn't matter. Like, don't let any fear, any circumstances, well, on the questionnaire, one question that I put is like, what's stopping you from reaching your goals? And I know for me, it's fear. You know, I'm afraid to step a little bit outside my comfort zone. Starting 31 Women, terrified. I cried like nobody else on this planet. Like, I cried all the time because it was terrifying. And sometimes it still is, but I know God birthed that in me for a reason. And as long as I'm being obedient and doing every little thing, stepping out in faith every time he asks me to, it's successful. Whether, you know, to the kingdom, in the kingdom of God or not, like that, it's successful. And so anyway, that's all I have to say.
Amen. Thanks, Sarah. No, that was good. Yeah. Yeah, I would not have been able to encapsulate that in communication form. So really what we're saying, and I've been saying it for a long time, and you know what, and I sense from you guys, I really do, is that our desire is to see really you guys greater than ourselves. That would not upset us. That would not upset us if you came to us, you know what, this is what I sense. I sense that the Lord wants me to do something outside. We'll still have relationship, but this is what I'm called to. If that's a yes and amen in God, and we see it and we sense that and we know that that's what God's doing in you, we're not afraid of someone doing that. Because as I said before, this is God's business. This is his church. You're his people. All we're here is to help you, encourage you, lift your arms if they get weak. You know, be there if there has to be tears, and be a shoulder to cry on if there's a setback. But, you know, there is too much at stake for us to continue on the course that we've been on. There's too much at stake, and it's not just at stake for us. Because, folks, we're all saved. I mean, I believe almost everyone here knows the Lord. And we, you know, we're in. But there's many that aren't. There's many that are facing darkness every single day. And as Lisa said, we are the light. We're the salt. So I'm going to leave you with this scripture. And then I want you, if you need to, listen to this again. Listen to last week's. I really want you to put some prayer into this and some seeking of the Lord for yourself. Not just the sheet. Really seek, ask God, why am I here? Start asking that basic question. Why am I here? Why did you put me in 2016? Why did you create me the way you created me? And maybe some of it may look bad, but, you know, the enemy has a way of taking some of the very best stuff that God's put in us and making it look the worse. Like a person that's addictive and chasing an addiction all the time, that's a person of passion misdirected. So what you need to realize is the enemy will take maybe one of your greatest strengths and make it look like a lie in your life. And so start asking God to speak to your heart in such a way that you are reassured of who you are and why you're here. And then we'll help you together find a destiny and a purpose. And it may be even a fresh new drive for your life and your family. You know, because God is at work in us. And he's doing a work that goes beyond really our own understanding. Because this doesn't make sense to me. I was not raised in church this way. I was not taught this way. But for some reason, this is the way that I'm now operating. And it can only be by the Holy Spirit. But I want to leave you with this because I believe this is a key. And he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And we know that that's the fivefold ministry. And it says here, for the equipping of the saints, and that literally means the fitting in, the helping them find their place is what that word, the helping the building, helping them build. It's helping them, show them how to build what God's got called them to. And then it says, and for the work of the ministry, or for the work of service, because that's the word diakonios, which is deacon, which is service. It's the ultimate word meaning service. And I think that's what Lisa was sharing, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Unfortunately, for a long time, we've gotten this to where it was for the work of our ministry. It was for the building of what we're doing. And unfortunately, it would pigeonhole people into places that they were never meant to be. Are there going to be people that are called to reach children? Absolutely. Or youth? Absolutely. Are there going to be people that are going to be called to help in the nursery? Absolutely. That will happen. But I'm telling you, there's individuals here that have a greater call than what this building can hold. You know? Than what a Sunday morning can do. Or even a Wednesday night. And if you're being called to something, we want to help you get there. That's all we're saying. And that we believe that that you are amazing and you're powerful, and that the very one that created all of creation dwells and lives in you. And if you just tap into that source, you will be amazed at who you become and what you accomplish in God. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Jose, do you want to come on up? Because I do want to pray for your son. Is his name, you said Julian? Julian, yes. Jose's got a son. He just went into to jail this week, and so we want to pray for God to touch his life. And you've got a bad back, don't you? I wish Glenn was here right now. So we're going to pray for your back, okay? Because I believe that the Lord is the healer and that nothing is too difficult for him. Amen? Okay. Well, we'll pray for your back first, and we'll agree with you for your son, okay? Father, we just pray right now, Lord, for Jose, God, and we just release, God, your power over his back right now, Lord. You are the healer. You are the great physician, Lord. And so in the name of Jesus, we speak life to the vertebrae. We speak life to the discs, Lord, right now. And we just ask them to come into alignment with the word of God and for restoration and strength to be restored to the spine. In Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for Jose. We thank you for his life. God, we pray that you would guide and direct his steps, lead and direct him into all truth, and make his path straight. In Jesus' name, we pray right now for his son, Lord. We pray for Julian, God, right where he is, Lord. We pray that as he knows you, Lord, that you would just visit his heart. Lord, let him know how much he's loved. Lord, don't let the enemy condemn him in the place he's at right now, Lord. Let him know how much he's loved. Let him know, Lord, that you are for him and you're not against him. Let him know, Lord, that you can turn, Lord, what the enemy's meant for evil and make it good. Lord, we just release your power and your authority over his life, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to send, Lord, those ministering spirits, those angels of yours, God, to do a mighty work, Lord, to prepare things, God, so that he is following you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Now, Jose, can you do one thing? Just move around a little bit with your back. Now, what you couldn't do before, maybe try it a little bit. Do you still feel a little bit something there? Is it right in the back? What is your pressure?
Okay. Okay.
Oh, all right. We're just going to pray again. We're just going to ask the Lord just to expand our faith and just to show us his goodness, because that's what the God says. He's just pressing to his goodness because he's gone through
surprise us at his goodness and how much he cares and he knows us. So we just command in the name of Jesus, back come into alignment in Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
All this pain go right now, all the discs become new.
Yes, Lord.
Must go right now in the name of Jesus. We curse and command every spirit of infirmity, any spirit of pain to go right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for your
thank you, Lord.
Because you are so loving, Lord, and you watch over us. And we thank you, Papa, for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Go ahead and move around a little bit.
So I just want to let you know we're dismissed, but if you have a need for prayer, yes. Vicki has an announcement to make. So, but after that, if anyone wants prayer, please come up. We'll just put on some music, Jesse, and we'll just your excuse if you want to, or you can share anything.
Okay. Hi, everybody. So we're talking about service. This is pretty cool. How many of us, especially women and girls, were wayward teens, runaways? Me? Yes. So I'm going to give you a really quick, short synopsis of my life. At the age of 14, I was engaging in bad behavior. I was getting high by the time I was 11. My mom finally came home, caught me with a boy in my room, or actually an older guy in my room, and she said to me, "It's my way or the highway, and you will follow my rules. Well, you'll get out." So guess what I did, because I wasn't following rules. I got out. And I spent the next couple years being a runaway, going home. Mom makes me mad, leaving. Want to get high, run away. And then one time I was in a really bad situation, running away with somebody I shouldn't have been running away with. And she was taking me into dangerous places, and the Lord stuck me in DDC for like the third time, which is Duval Detention Center from Jacksonville, Florida. This time, my mom didn't come pick me up. She left me there. The judge talked her into it. And so from there, the Lord has worked in my life, and from glory to glory and from miracle to miracle. But as a teenager, I didn't have people to come out and say, "Do you have what you need? Can I help you? Do you need some personal products? Do you need to take a shower?" I didn't have any. We didn't do that. So anytime you could find something and you're in a gas station bathroom and washing up in the bathroom and using the blow dryers, been there, done that. So with Proverbs 31 Women, we're starting up through March. We're taking donations of women's personal products and all that that entails. Travel size, shampoos and conditioners for people who travel. If you get the hotel soaps and the hotel lotions and all that stuff, and you just have bags of them, I know I do, bring them. We're taking donations of that. We're taking donations of purses, and we're taking donation, because what we're going to do is we're going to take these purses and we're going to fill them with these products, and we're going to take them to the depot and to the women's YWCA domestic shelter, domestic abuse, and because a lot of times these ladies need to leave their home. I know my mom did, ran with us a couple of times, and we left with nothing. And in fact, from Connecticut to Jacksonville, Florida, we could take nothing, so he would not know that we were leaving. And put these personal products, girls' products, shampoo, soap, body wash, lotion, sewing kits, anything that you have that's we can use to and bless these women so they have the ability to wash up, be clean. Some of them won't even go to church because they feel dirty. They won't go in somewhere and get help because they feel dirty. Been there, done that. So this is what we want to do. So we're going to be I have a box that we'll have out for you guys to bring. We're taking donations. Money will help because, and if you have big, who buys shampoo and conditioner and then doesn't like it? And where does it go? It goes right under the bathroom sink. Body washes, lotions, bring them. And what monies we receive as part of the donations in this, we'll go buy the little travel size bottles and we'll fill them ourselves to put them in the purses. Q-tips, cotton balls, all of it, you know. So that's what we have for everybody. Sarah, thank you so much. I brought the idea to Sarah because we all seen it on Facebook, because I was a runaway and because I understand being in this. She's let me take over. I told her it was hers, but she's let me take over, and we have a box already started that we will be putting this stuff in a secure location, and we'll get together, figure out how we're going to get together and come to the church and put these purses together so we can take them down. So if you want to volunteer your time, that's great too. We would love it. And my daughter Valerie is going to be here in March, and I'm going to, and she's done things like this with connections at One Chapel where they took out, you know, little bags to the homeless. So I'm hoping we'll do it while she's here after they get back. So my number, if you need my phone number, if you need me to pick it up, or if you want to bring it to the church and put it in the box, that's great. So, and next week I'll have a printout of some of the things that we're taking, okay?
God bless everyone. If you want prayer, need prayer.